Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center. If marriage is so great, why is it so hard, you know? We're going to talk about that today and how to be intentional about the love that we have, that we're supposed to have at least, in our marriage, and how we make that, you know, work. How do we take intentional love and put it right into the fabric of our marriage and turn our marriage from maybe being so tough and difficult and painful to a little more, maybe a whole lot more, freedom and peace and joy. You ready? This is Intentional Living. Welcome.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. I thinking about relationships. Wouldn't it be nice if relationships were easy and they're pain-free, you know, just, but that's not the way it works. And we could do a whole theology and teaching from the book of Genesis, theological perspective on why that's the case. We see it in the Garden of Eden when their sin occurred, that there was an immediate breach in relationships between God and man and between man and between woman. And you don't have to get three chapters into the Bible before the whole thing starts to fall apart. And of course, we're all, you know, tentacles of that over the generations facing relationship challenges. In fact, there are people, a lot of people, who make their living on relationship problems. And intentional living is a part of that, right? I mean, part of what we do is helping people see that relationship challenges are natural, they're part of life. But as followers of Christ, when we choose to be intentional, it can make a big difference. So today we're going to talk about marriage, and we have some questions and callers standing by who are going to be joining us, and we would welcome your comments on our comment line when you call 888-888-1717 and press number 2. All right, let's get started. We're going to go to Iowa. Joe is listening today. Hey, Joe, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
My question is, I've been divorced for 3 years, and since my divorce with my ex-wife, my belief with Christ has grown so much that I'm a true believer and a follower of Him.
Good.
And my ex-wife used to be a believer and a follower, and I would honestly say I don't think she's in that position anymore since her father's death. Since we're divorced and I have my children, 50% of the time, I'm trying to get my children more involved with church, on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I'm with them and they go to church, with me. And when they go to church with me, I'm trying to get my kids to be born again Christians and be baptized and stuff like that. And, when I do this, my ex-wife, it's almost like a brick wall. I'm trying to do this with my kids, and I feel, when my kids are with me, they're saints. And when they're with her, I feel she manipulates my kids, so much where to the point where my ex-wife, took a no contact order on me, which was thrown out of court. Try to go with DHS, and that was thrown away. And every time I try to get close to my kids and get close with Christ with my kids, there's always something there, that's blocking my way. And, and I attend to 2 Bible studies a week, and I go to church weekly. And, this just means so much to me, because I lost my firstborn son when he was 5 months old, so having my kids, myself, being born again Christians and everything else just means the world to me.
Well, Joe, let me jump in, because I would challenge you in our discussion. Your ex-wife's name came up several times, and you don't have any control over her. I mean, she's an ex-spouse. You guys are, the marriage is no longer intact. You're separated. She has the kids half the time. You have kids half the time. A couple of things I'd recommend. One is, to the extent that you can have a positive relationship with her, you need to do that. In other words, you don't want to poke the sleeping bear. I mean, there's where you get problems. So you don't do things that might intentionally or even unintentionally create a problem with your ex-wife. And then as a follower of Christ, you be the best dad you possibly can. You never criticize mom. You never bring her into the discussion or try to straighten her out as you talk to your kids. You just love your kids. You be intentional with your kids lovingly. And you take them to church as you can. But even more important than that, you need to be the dad where they see Christ in you. Your kids are going to catch your life. They're going to see you. They're going to measure how you live, how you speak, how you demonstrate your love toward them and toward other people and even toward their mom. And so your goal to be intentional, remember, two things about intentional living. One is having godly goals, goals that are in alignment with God's intention, which is a biblically based question. What does the Bible teach? And secondly, then developing the next right one thing until it becomes a habit, and then the next one until you have the kind of habits that will support you accomplishing those goals in your life. That is really what intentional living is all about. All right, I hope that helps. Let's go to Dwayne, who's on the line. Let me see, from Arizona with a comment. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, Dr. Randy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, isn't that the way we're supposed to live? That's right. What's your comment on this marriage topic today?
I was just talking about my spouse, my mate. You know, when they're sick or something's going on, you intercede for them all the time, no matter what. If you're like at a movie War Room.
Yeah.
I watched it several times, and I've got a place right up under my stairs. I call it my War Room.
For those who don't know, it's the movie The War Room that was where this wife went to do battle for her marriage, but in a prayer way. I mean, that was her prayer room where she went and did a spiritual battle for her marriage. And I think we all need that kind of place in our own, I mean, even if it's a physical place, but a place that we can go to do that kind of battle spiritually.
Yeah, it's a closet right up on the stairs, and I've got prayers up, and I've got names, and I've got all kinds of stuff just like she did, and I pray for my grandkids, I pray for my kids and foster kids, and I pray for my friends and churches that we've represented through the years. And
what difference does that make in your life, Dwayne?
Oh, it makes a great difference. I mean, I get up when I get up in the morning at 5:30, my prayer time, and all, and I feel refreshed once I'm done, and just thinking about God all day, you know. Or day in and day out is till he gets ready to come back for us, you know.
That's
we know he's coming back one day soon.
Amen to that. All right, Dwayne, thank you for your call. He's got a war room, you know, and it's a prayer room. And one of the things that we teach here in Intentional Living is prayer is a key. And when we have an attitude of prayer about our spouse, for our spouse, for ourselves, for our marriage, something happens spiritually, emotionally, and just relationally when we bring it to God. Talking about marriage today, we'd love to have you join in. What's your thought? What's your question? You can call our comment line, 888-888-1717, and press number 2.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I just wanted to let Dr. Randy know how much this program means to me, and the Intentional Living focus has transformed my life in every aspect: personal relationships, work, finances, my health, physical activity. Because without a goal, I would tend to just be directed by kind of the winds of change of life and let circumstances gobble me up. And we get overwhelmed at times depending on, again, the circumstances, but I feel like intentional living has made me stronger, given me better direction. And instead of depending on myself, as I let go of my way of doing things and surrender to the Lord, I become, ironically enough, and there's the paradox, as I let go and surrendered, I become a stronger woman of God. the direction that men of wisdom like Dr. Randy can give us. Those of us who are still struggling, who know we're strong, but we want more direction, more guidance. It's a wonderful show, and it's strengthening the body of Christ.
Thank you. Hey, listen, you're on the journey. We're coming along, and we're doing this thing of life together. And I just get a chance to applaud when I see people saying, listen, I understand this. I'm going to stretch, and that's what intentional living is all about, stretching toward a goal that we know will honor Christ, bring Him glory, and then living that out intentionally, not perfectly. Listen, intentional living is not about perfection, because if it were, I wouldn't be the teacher. Because none of us are perfect. And it's not about working your way more into making God love you more. Being intentional doesn't make God love you more than He already loves you, any more than your kids. You love them all, those that are being intentional, and their family, and those not, you love them. But you're smart enough as a parent to know, think about it, when you have a son or daughter that's more intentional in their life than one that isn't, you know the outcome is going to be better, right? You see the path that's going to lead to. And that's really what this is about, as children of God, that when we choose to follow what the Bible teaches and be intentional, doing the next right one thing, setting godly goals and doing it with joy and peace, better things happen in our lives. And that's intentional living. We're talking about marriage today because, boy, we see it here when we choose to be the way God wants us to be. So we got a comment here or a question, I think. Either way, Jose, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I have a question. I was listening to the show, and I heard about, I think it was today I actually heard it on the radio, someone named Rosie or something like that, and she had a 28 and 24-year-old living at home, and it was causing friction in the family.
Yeah, it was a blended family. Yeah.
Well, whether it's blended or not, the kids are 24 and 28, and there's got to be a time where they got to start being accountable, and I agree. That I feel she's putting her marriage on the line, and she's saying that he doesn't care. But,
let me just jump in, though, Jose, because I agree with you. But here's the thing, that the fact that was blended or not blended made a difference. Because in her case, these were, quote, her kids. That's how she referred to them. These are my kids, right. And this man who I married doesn't care about my kids, was basically the message. And so he wants to cut them out. And what she was feeling, I think, was if he truly loved me, then he would love my children. And that makes it difficult.
Sometimes I agree with you. I came from a blended family, and I understand her point, but she's kind of like she's putting her marriage on the, in the back seat, basically. And so, my thought on that is, the kids are 24 and 28. It's not like they're, I just graduated high school, 18, 19 years old. I need to figure out my footing. They should have their footing. And so it comes to a point where she was, I think she was saying, well, her son's probably going to, he's got his, they need to both come up with a date. And,
Well, how would you approach this? If this were you and you were a husband, what would you do?
I did have this. I had the same situation, but the kids, I think there were, I believe it was like, one was 26 at the time, and one was like 22 or 23. And I'm the stepdad. And, I had a good relationship. I grew up with them since we were, toddlers. But, we had a date set. And when that date came up, she waffled on me, basically. And then I had a long talk. I was like, this is going to destroy our marriage because, she did do the thing where my kids in the family, I was like, I raised them too, and she's like, I know. And so when we went, it was causing, we were financially helping out. She was financially helping them. I initially did. And I was like, I got to cut this off. They got to get their footing, because what they were spending, they were both working, but what they were doing is they were living there for like maybe $200. I could not get her to charge them more. And I was like, well, this is not really being responsible. And finally, one of the kids ended up, I believe he was on the street for like 2 weeks. And as much as I hated that, they had to get to the knowledge that they have to actually do something with their life. They can't just rely on mom and dad. One other kid lived with friends for a while and stuff like that. But
so what you're saying is your wife finally agreed to to make a split. How are you doing today? How'd it turn out? What's the end game
here? We're doing great. One of the kids is doing great. The other one is still just kind of mooching off everyone else, kind of living. You know, he's 35. He's kind of he doesn't even have a place yet. And you know, he's like, "Can I stay with you guys?" And I was like, "We're like, she wants him." She's like, "Well, he's living with friends." I was like, "We got to say no because he's 35 years old." And,
yeah, you know, I think it's tough for kids. We see this a lot. There's young people today. There's a lot that are coming back home trying to get started today. Sometimes kids are getting out of school with these huge loans. The employment has changed over the years, and it's been difficult. But you're making a point, Jose, that's really important. When a mom and dad, a husband and wife, are not on the same page, whenever there's a light that gets between you and you're not shoulder to shoulder, it creates a huge problem. I mean, this is just common sense. This is the same thing that happens in a business relationship. It'll happen in churches if you're not have the same vision, the same goal. It'll happen on sports teams. It's just a principle of life. Unless two people are in agreement, how can they walk together, the scripture says? And so your message is right on. You've got to come to an agreement. And I agree with you. There's a point where a little bit of tough love is a part of the process of helping our kids grow up. It really is. All right. Thank you for your call. We'd love to have you join in. Maybe you got a different take on this, something you've learned that you want to share with us on our comment line. It's 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me go to Sherry. Let me see. Sherry's in Texas. Sherry, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. It says here you have a story you'd like to share.
I do. It's crazy. I was sitting here listening and hearing people on your show a lot ask how to fix things. And it's amazing to me to see what God's done in my life, because I've always been that one who always tries to fix everything. And a little bit of a control freak, and I was walking intentionally to go to Bible study. And actually, one day I didn't want to go, but I knew that God put it on my heart to go this day, and so I went. And my husband, my son, and I were kind of in a negative space. We've been married 19 years, and we've been through a lot, good times and bad. But through that, still, I've always tried to fix things. I've tried to fix everything. And that day that I went to Bible study, I had an aha moment that was ridiculously amazing when I learned that I'm not in control. And I learned that even though I had faith that God was present in my life, I don't think I ever really trusted him. And that's what I try to tell so many of my friends now, is that you can have a faith, and that's one thing, but to really trust that God's got it, that he already knew what's going to happen tomorrow, that's what I heard, that God's got it, and you just have to trust him. And that day I went home and I surrendered all of my worries about my son, all my concerns about my husband, anything in the world. I gave it to God because he's got it. And that was a pivotal moment in my marriage. I communicate better with my husband. I'm a better listener. I have so much joy that people comment all the time about the difference they see.
You know, the thing, Sherry, this month and the teaching for this month for our members, I do some teaching from the book of Psalms where we read that little passage. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." And that word delight, if you look it up in the Hebrew, that word really means to be totally dependent upon God. It's a strong word. It's a word that talks about total dependence on God and finding all of your pleasure in him. And that's what you did. You delighted yourself in the Lord by saying, "I'm going to trust totally in him." And the desires of your heart then happen. It's amazing. I don't know how that works. It's a spiritual thing. And so your story reminds us that when we're intentional in letting go of control, because you know the amazing thing, we don't control much. We don't, come on, we don't control our spouse. You know, you might think you do, and they may let you think you do. They, you know, you may push a button and they give you the response that you like, and you think, hey, look at that, I'm controlling them. But they're still letting you do that. That's still, they're still in control themselves. We don't control other people. We don't control our kids. We don't control the weather. We don't control God. We don't control our spouse. And frankly, it's hard enough just to try to keep control of ourselves, right? And so intentional living comes back to finding that our joy comes in total delight in Him, dependence in Him. And I think that's the message you're sharing with us, Sherry from Texas. And appreciate you doing that. God bless you. Thank you for your call today.
I had been tearing my husband down, and I needed to make some changes because I wasn't going to change him. I needed to change me. I was talking down to him, and I'm a control freak. I did not realize what it was doing to him until one day he said, I don't love you anymore. I want a divorce. So I tried to start building him up, complimenting him instead of trying to be in control. He didn't know how to take it at first. That was the hardest part, was to get through him knowing that I was serious about making those changes. He started making his own changes and started really building me up, and it just became more of a team rather than one against one. He said a prayer and asked God to give us many more years together.
That is intentional love, and you make it possible for this ministry, this radio program, to be on the air every day. We've got costs associated with the program and distribution of the program, and our mission that we reach out around the world with a very powerful but clear message that when we have godly goals and daily habits, our lives are better. We bring Him glory, and we benefit from it. And helping young people, helping people in ministry, helping couples and singles be intentional. You hear the stories of changed lives. You make them possible by your support. And if you're not a member, come and join us. We'd love to have you be on this journey with us. We're in this thing together. And your monthly support, whatever amount God lays on your heart, you think, I don't know how much. Can I challenge you to pray about $1 a day, $30 a month to help with the ministry? We want to send you our ongoing teaching each and every month on CD from me to you to say thank you for your support. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and click on the donate button or call during West Coast business hours, again, 888-888-1717, and you can press number 4 and talk to one of our staff. All right, I think we've got time. Eric's on the line in California. How can I help you today, Eric?
Yeah, well, I have a question. Newly married to a woman, beautiful woman, that's generous and kind, has a big heart, but she has no children of her own. And I have two children. Unfortunately, they have two different mothers. And periodically, I have to converse and see these other women. My wife does not understand, and I don't understand her not understanding. But there seems to be some tension, maybe some jealousy, and maybe some resentment.
Wow. Eric, the horse is already out of the barn on this one. You know, these are things, and I just want to say this for everybody else, then I'll come to your question. If you're thinking of getting married and you're going into a blended family relationship, you would be enormously wise to talk about these things up front. Now, what happens is when we're in love, we kind of discount. It'll all work out. And here's what I've seen. If there's even a yellow sign, a yellow light in your discussions before marriage, they don't typically go from yellow to green after you get married. They more typical to go from yellow to red. And so if these issues are not talked about in advance, they can create problems later on. All right, to your case, Eric, I think for you, brother, I would be very clear with your wife. I'd sit down and not only tell her that I have to have communication. These are the mothers of my children and now your stepchildren. But let me explain to you what the nature of this relationship is. In other words, you're assuring her how the communication goes, why you're having this communication, and over what topics. But beyond that, it's something that she's, you know, she's got to accept the fact. She's got to grow up to the fact that she married into a relationship where you have two other women that are going to be a part of your life as long as those kids are part of your life. And that's just comes with the, that's part of the baggage that comes with this relationship. And she needs to understand that. She needs to work that through. You need to make it as comfortable for her as possible. But at the same time, that's going to be a reality. Because if you don't, if that doesn't happen, if she doesn't get beyond that, she can't get that healed in her life, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be difficult to get beyond. All right. I hope that helps, Eric. Appreciate your call. Let's go. I think we've got time for one more. Amy's been standing by from Michigan. What's your question?
My husband is a kind of person who likes to come home, and I give him his time. But lately, it seems like his time has been spreading from 1 hour to like 2 hours, and he's only home for about 4 hours a day. And it feels like I can't get him to get out of a book or off the computer to do things with me, and I'm not quite sure what to do.
Wow, that's interesting. It'd be, why don't you ask him? I mean, why don't you just say, honey, I noticed when we first got married, you'd come home and you'd have a time to yourself, and then we'd do something together. And now not so much. What's going on? And see if he'd open up and talk to you. You know, we go through seasons in life and in marriage. There are things that draw us together, things that push us apart. Maybe the things you've been doing are not that much interest to him. Now, he should be interested because you're interested, right? But if your goal is to spend more time with him, I would encourage you to get behind his eyes, talk to him at a time when you're not just in the midst of the emotion and in the midst of your confusion and in the midst of your hurt, and just ask him, honey, I've noticed this. This is how I feel about it. This is how it's affecting me. Can't we figure out some things that we can do together? And sometimes with some people, you got to schedule it. You know, you got to get it on the calendar. When you get home, I want to give you an hour. After that, we need to sit down and do some things together, talk about some things, work through some things. If you don't schedule it, it doesn't get done. As someone once said, if you don't measure it, it never gets done, right? And so it's practical and sometimes just working through a new schedule. Remember, the Intentional Living Center, our mission here is to help you and your family to experience the hope and freedom and peace and joy and purpose through God's intentional love for you and your family. To all of our members who support this ministry to allow us to be on the air, thank you for your faithful, ongoing, continuous support from month to month. It makes a big difference. Help for pastors suffering from burnout. Next time at Intentional Living. See you then.